Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Team PXY on 98PXY, the number one hit music station. It's Corey James, Breezy, and Brendan Summers from Houston NBC. Got to get, of course, all the updates on the news that happened yesterday, this morning. Certainly lots to do with schools. But before that, we need to have our breaking daddy daycare update. Brendan, 5 hours alone with your daughter yesterday. You're obviously here. You've survived. How did it go?
It's either I survived or my wife, Steph, kicked me out and said, you need to go to work. I need
right.
to give this baby some support. It was good. We spent the afternoon. Mom went to work for a couple hours, had some important meetings. Of course, she works for a local school district, so they're all getting ready to reopen. So yesterday was very busy. I was there, and we had a little bit of a nap. We took the bottle for kicking and screaming for about an hour.
Perfect.
And then I was like, okay, it's been like four and a half hours, and I was like, Mom, I don't know if we can make it to another feeding. So she came to the rescue, but I made it through.
That's close.
About four and a half hours.
Listen,
and that was
good. This is like, it's like going to the gym. Like, you don't just start bench pressing 400 pounds. Like, you got to work your way on up to that. So I feel like you're making some good progress here.
Speaking of that, and I am nowhere, like, built as anything to describe to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, like, hold a 10 to 15 pound baby for 4 hours.
Yep.
And your elbow's at 90 degrees. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's exhausting.
Like, I'm
cramping.
So it's funny you bring that up because St. Courtney, Corey's wife, has one arm that's just, like, legit jacked.
Yeah.
Like her one arm is just so built because of holding baby Mason, who's a big guy.
He's a big guy. He's 30 pounds. He's a house.
And he's, like, not even 2 years old. So
yeah, he's barely one. And my wife is very small, very petite. I don't know how she, like, I get winded. Here's the other thing, by the way, that's going to make you feel terrible. I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but when you break out into a sweat while trying to put their clothes on, that is really just not a great moment.
Oh, yes. It was. She reached a point where it was she has to be held. And as soon as you start leaning her over to put her down.
Yep.
Blood curling. I'm like, well, we need to change your diaper. We got to change your shirt. And it's just, I put her back up and I'm sweating. Her forehead's sweating.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And mom's been gone 5 minutes.
Right. Brendan, I'm no parenting expert. Again, my son's just over a year old. But I do know one thing. And that is they do not react to logic or reason. So you're just kind of wasting your breath on that one.
No. And at this point, because she's so young, just 3 months, it has no idea that she can't cry herself out of anything.
Right.
It's just finding out. And I was just so glad when I heard my Ring doorbell notification went off and I knew mom was coming in. I was like, okay, here, please.
Sprint
save
away.
Us both.
Yeah. For sure. All right.
So absolutely wild, truly.
Let's jump into it. Of course, the biggest news yesterday was the big announcement about schools. A lot to dive into here.
Yeah, so this is now worth the point where it's not if schools are going to reopen, but how. And the governor detailed the plans last night. They sent out some more official guidelines overnight. And that's what we knew was coming this week. We've got all these local school districts in the Finger Lakes and Rochester saying, all right, we're ready to come up with plans. We're working on it, but we need some help. They got that from the state. The state sent down some guidelines, maybe not as specific as some would want. But now districts are working. By the end of the month, they have to send their own proposals to Albany. And we'll find out in August which schools are reopening. And just like the economy, this is going to happen region by region. So Finger Lakes and Rochester, we're one region. If this region maintains a certain level with positive tests for COVID, it's got to be below 5% coming back on a rolling average, which we've been at that level since May. So the schools, if this were the middle of the school year, they would have been open 2 months. So
right,
we,
and
every,
that's
every, yeah.
What does
every
that
week
mean?
Hit that. So this means that for 2 weeks, what they're going to say since you reopened is your infection rate below 5%. That means if you're doing 100 COVID tests a day and you've got 4 to 5 of them that are coming back positive, you're still okay to reopen.
Okay.
Right.
And we're doing a lot more testing now. And then once we get into the school year, you'll be on an alert system because then they're going to say, all right, so week to week, we're going to measure this. If you peak above 9%, and that's which will show a surge, we're going to have to shut the schools back down and go back to online learning.
Oh, man. I don't want to say that the very first reopening part and the information that was given out yesterday is the easy part. But I think compared to every other aspect of this, it really is because there's still so many questions. We talked about it earlier on the show. I mean, you go down the rabbit hole of things that are affected and how are they going to react to this and that and this. I mean, just the idea of, okay, we are operating with the understanding that there are going to be cases. There are going to be students, teachers, faculty, whatever, that get this. How does the school respond? Is it like in the beginning when, at Spencerport, things shut down? Or at Greece Arcadia, rather, when things shut down? Or are we able to put kids into pods, for a lack of a better term? And then it's kind of how that summer camp that was affected earlier this week, there was only 10 kids because they were kind of in a group together and they mm-hmm. weren't allowed to come back. I mean, there's just so much to discuss.
Yes, and I was reading through, they did drop, I think it was about 20 to 25 pages of official guidance. Oof. Overnight, and I was reading through that. So
it's a scorcher.
One big thing is mask. So everyone, students too, will have to wear a mask if they're not at least 6 feet apart, which that's the same rules that we've all been living under.
Right.
So in a classroom, mm-hmm. it does say for instructions, kids can take a mask off, but you got to have a classroom where everyone's sitting more than 6 feet apart. So then you've got a classroom that usually holds 25 kids, now holding 10 to 15.
Where are they going to do school? The dome arena? Like, I don't understand.
Well, they have mentioned cafeterias and gyms, because one thing with feeding these kids, which you have to come up with a plan for that too, is, all right, maybe we're going to deliver the meals to the classroom,
right,
which I think is kind of a clear thing that a lot of people would want to do. And another thing is temperature checks. They are going to apply to everyone. And mm-hmm. the state guidance says, ideally, we want you to do those at home. And if you've got the fever for doctors, what they say is 100.4. And it's if you're higher than that, you got to stay home and get checked out. So that's another thing. Teachers wearing masks, they're going to want them for the younger kids to wear face shields so kids can understand them and see their faces to help them connect. But it's all of that kind of comes out, and now it's figuring out how to make it work for each district, for each region. Some schools may try to bring everyone on campus. Others may do a hybrid. Others may do a little bit more online. And that's they'll submit each of their plans, and the governor will give them the okay or not.
All right.
Okay.
Plenty to iron out. Certainly not the last we'll be talking of this, that's for sure.
No, not at all. I just, it makes my head hurt, and I'm not even in school, and I don't even have a child that is in school, so.
Yeah, and that's, I think, we do know, listen, we're going to have kids or teachers, someone's going to test positive. It's just, you're going to have more people out there. We've seen that with bars and restaurants. And again, like you guys have both said, it's about finding the response of what do you do with substitute teachers. What do you do with, moving a teacher who's sick or kids and you're quarantining and how much of that school has to be cleaned? Do you keep people out of that wing of a building for a couple of days? That's all what districts have to figure out. But, most people in New York, there was a new poll out. They do believe that school year is going to start, and all the metrics say that's going to happen too.
Sure.
But they also say about 84%, 82% of people believe there's going to be a surge.
Yeah.
Right.
In local cases.
Well, yeah. Anyone who has kids knows the germs that are brought back from the school. That first year that first year your kid goes to school, it can be tough for parents too, because you're being exposed to all these different things that you never were. So we'll see. We'll see. A little optimism though. At least we have a bit of a path.
Brennan, keeping it in the realm of COVID, not to cut you off, what is going on with the travel advisory? So you're supposed to be giving contact information now. Is that to track whether you're quarantining or not? Or how is that going to work?
Yes. So for starters today, we could see if more states get added to or dropped from that list. And this is where they've got the criteria. If you're flying back from like California, Texas, or Florida, even if you live in New York, you're a New Yorker and you travel on vacation, this applies to you. 2 weeks quarantine from COVID hotspots as soon as you get back. They had said that they were going to start passing out like the customs forms that people get on immigration on international flights, and you got to fill those out whenever you come back. Mm-hmm. Now the governor has upped the ante on that, saying you're going to fill out these forms when you get here, which is contact info, where you've been, so they can reach out to you to trace you, or else you're going to have to pay up to $2,000 in a fine.
Yeah, and I'll sign that. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So they mentioned this, and they say, all right, okay, that sounds, a lot of people disagree with it, but at least in a practical sense, you can make that work at airports because everyone's coming through a gate.
Right.
But what are you doing for someone driving back from Florida up I-95, crossing through Pennsylvania?
Good point.
And I think that's what hasn't really been addressed. Republicans have blasted this measure, saying that it's just way over the top. This isn't going to hold up in court, and comparing it to really strict governments throughout history in terms of tracing people. So that's this is kind of like the same reaction we've gotten the first time that we got the mask rule for people traveling. And it's Big Brother. It's giving up this information. But the governor's team says we got to have this. And to try to put the pressure on people is the threat of a fine.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't need this if people would just follow the rules. But we've seen how that works. So
yeah. Yeah, and this is – there was also some confusion among the airports because it's like, okay, am I giving this with people direct flights from Orlando to Rochester? Or what about if you go from a connecting flight from a non-COVID state, but you fly through Charlotte through the airport, which is the Carolinas are on the list, and then you come here, which is it's trying to figure out a lot of who this applies to.
Right.
And we spoke to travelers who got off the flights yesterday, and they have no idea about all this happening. Everyone just wants a better heads up.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll, it seems like we're back to our daily updates from Governor Cuomo, despite him shutting that down. He wanted a couple days off, I guess.
Tried to take a break. Yeah, tried to take a break, but he's back. And of course, yesterday was a big day and probably warranted because of the schools questions and everything addressed in the quarantine. But he's also kind of having his hand forced a little bit, just what we're seeing from other states too, with this picking up and becoming more of a problem as we head into the second half of the year.
Right, because we are in such a good spot, and the two major threats to that changing are people not following the rules here and having outsiders come in from other areas, be it they live there and they're coming here, or people traveling for vacation or what have you. Those are the two biggest threats to this thing turning back around very quickly, which obviously we know that it can.
Yeah, and going back to schools a little bit, and we talk about, just think about how it's been over the past 2 months. I went back and looked at the infection rate for our area. We've been hovering at about 1% for going all the way back to May. And so if this were the middle of the school year, and I know that the rate would go up a little bit because you might be testing more people, there'd be more hundreds of people, thousands of kids too, all together, at least closer to one another with schools being open. Schools would have been open for the past 2 months with the rates that we had.
Yep.
So it's keeping it that way. We haven't been up near 9-10% since late April, and that was when we were doing a lot less testing then as well. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
All right. Yeah, Brennan Summers from News 10 NBC. I know this right now. You talk about some of the criticisms of the governor. Certainly, I would venture to say that there's nothing he's been criticized more for than his handling of the nursing home policy, and there's updates to that today.
Yeah, so there are now dates set for hearings as part of this investigation into the policies and what happened in New York and what definitely doesn't need to happen going forward. And this is bipartisan, Republicans and Democrats pushing for this. They'll come up in August, and we'll see who from the governor's team will be answering those questions. Now, this is that policy, and we've talked a lot about it, back in March, where it was someone gets sick with COVID at a nursing home. They go to the hospital. Then hospitals were sending them back because it was okay under the state rule, the state order, before they fully recovered. The governor and them had said we were following CDC guidelines, and in fact, it was rather staff and the workers who were spreading infections at nursing homes, not necessarily those patients. But they did change that order. You got to be healthy before you go back. But that has been, I mean, that's been the one knock that we've talked about that that has plagued the Cuomo response to this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a lot to take in on a Tuesday. It really is.
Any day, really.
Yeah. I know, and it's just, and we were talking this year, like, just halfway through the year, and now we're starting to look ahead, and schools is the really just the next big thing. But I think now it's everything's moving forward, and we have a sense of at least what life will look like in a month and a half, 2 months from now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Brennan, let's move off from the COVID stuff, and let's talk about the weather. Right now, it's been nice. My wife, I mentioned this earlier in the show, my wife actually said yesterday, oh, it's a little chilly out. And I look at the temp in the car, and it's 82.
I know. It was great. I woke up this morning, and I was like, why did I not open the windows last night before I went to sleep? And I was like, could have given the air a break. And it's been really nice. It's going to be nice again today. Some people got rain yesterday, which was also a welcome sight. And this is where we always bring in the butt part of the conversation, that if you look ahead toward the end of the week, much warmer, back toward what we were looking at last week in the 90s and the red. And that is what's been showing up on the forecast as we head into the weekend, particularly Saturday and Sunday, which, as always, as it always seems, the weather hits on the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I have one question before we let you go. So you do your good question segment every day.
Yes.
You find a question that maybe not a lot of people had thought about and find the answer to it and why that is. Why are our flags at half staff or still at half staff, I should say?
So listen, if, mind you, so back in earlier in the year, in April, Governor Cuomo ordered all flags at state buildings, which is what he has the authority for, be lowered at half staff to honor all the COVID victims, all the lives lost, and there were so many. And usually people at their homes, other local businesses, even our station here, we've got the flags at half staff. You follow that order to be respectful and to pay tribute. The original order said as long as New York was on pause.
Okay.
No one knew how long that was going to be, and that got lifted, and now we're all reopening, but the flags are still at half staff. And people, they just don't know what to do. They don't want to you're not supposed to keep the flags down forever, and they just want to be respectful. So I asked the governor's team several emails over the past couple of months, yes or no, like, what should they be doing? I even heard from a town clerk about what to do, and I got zero response.
Really?
Not even though we're looking at it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then a press release came out last week about a fallen soldier from New York and keeping the flags lowered, which was a key phrase in that. And at the bottom it said, flags remain lowered for the victims of COVID. So that was an answer. It took a while to find, and I get it, not the most pressing thing, but it means a lot to a lot of people. And it was, they just wanted to make sure that they weren't offending anybody. So that was today's question. That's why you see them lowered, and if anyone out there is still doing that, I would just keep it until you get a clear answer finally from the governor.
Okay.
All right.
Makes sense.
Sounds good. Brennan Summers, the news at NBC. How many hours today of daddy daycare, or are you off today?
I need to double check that. I know at least most of the afternoon.
Like,
I will say real quick before I go.
Yes.
I was listening earlier. You had your Savage or Sensible.
Mm-hmm.
People,
mm-hmm.
The joke's on you if you open your fridge and you have a cracked egg. Check it before you leave the store. And if it's cracked, you lost the $2 for your egg.
That's on you. Mm-hmm. That's on you.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
We did have a listener that broke down the rules for egg purchase survival. I'll quickly just repeat. She said, you check the eggs before you purchase, bag them separately from everything else. The eggs ride in the front seat on the way home. The eggs get carried in the house before everything else and put away as soon as possible.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And don't try to mix and match. Don't waste everybody's time.
We talked to somebody from Wegmans and said, yeah, that's frowned upon. Yeah, don't do that for sure.
Yeah, shame on you. Don't do it.
All right. Brennan Summers, the news at NBC. Good luck today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See ya. Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.